So we're talking about the church, and we're talking about Ezekiel's image, which is probably one of the most extraordinary comparisons or images in all of the Old Testament. We're talking about the psalm, the rivers gladden the city of God. We're talking about the city of God. We're talking about the temple of Jerusalem, but that temple was destroyed, the temple of Christ's body, but that temple was destroyed and then raised up, and then we are Christ's body. So there is a billion layers when we try to talk about the church. It's this huge, huge mystery. And I don't want to say too much, because we really could go on forever, but focus, if you will, just for a moment on Ezekiel's image. And first of all, it was never fulfilled for Ezekiel. This idea of the angel took me outside the temple, I saw the sacrifice in the temple and whatever, and then I came and I saw water flowing from the temple. And the water goes down and it goes east. And it goes into the salty waters of the Arabah, which I had to Google that one. But that's in its time, it was the Jordan River Valley. Now it's just the Dead Sea Valley, but it was referred to as the Jordan River Valley. And it goes down from that water, and it goes into what sea? Anybody know the sea at the base of the Jordan River? The Dead Sea. Why is it called the Dead Sea? Because everything's dead. It's so salty that nothing, there's no fish, there's this only craziness and dead stuff there. Not even electronics work there. And it makes them, this image of that water from the temple, the water flowing from the temple would make those things fresh and come alive and even be life-giving for others, healing and medicinal for others. Any thoughts on this idea of water flowing from the altar? The side of God, side of Jesus, the blood and water flowed forth. Baptism that brings us that water, that allows us contact with that water, the Eucharist, the sacraments. It's just crazy that Ezekiel would give that prophecy and have no idea what it meant. But yet for the Jews, they're like, they're still waiting. That's going to happen one day when the Messiah comes. And we can say he came and it's happening now if we have eyes to see. We can see the waters flowing from our Lord, the wisdom of Christ, the healing grace of Christ coming from the temple altar and flowing from church to church to church throughout the world, through all the communities of the world. It's still there. From the altar of Calvary, it flows forth through every place and through every time and every generation and continues to make fertile and come alive that which is dead and lifeless and dark. This city of God, this temple of God, this water flowing from that temple, still today. Think about Jesus when he talked about the mustard seed, right? He was talking about the exact same thing. His church, his kingdom would be that. This one little thing that starts small, barely a trickle. And then the prophet shows how, you know, over time he can't wade through it. It's too much water. The idea of the mustard seed starts so tiny, but it grows and it just gives shelter and, you could say, medicine to all who feed upon it. It's the same image from Ezekiel to Christ, about, talking about the reign of God, the kingdom of God, the church, the Holy Spirit poured out upon us. I don't want to say too much. Just, I really do encourage us to reread these readings and meditate on this image that was always God's intention for his church, his kingdom, for the sacraments. People will say, well, I don't need the sacraments. I just go to God. He gave them to you. Don't reject the gift. It was always in his plan. So just really, you can sit there with that image of Ezekiel forever and ponder how it has so beautifully come to light and come to fruition and come to be realized in the church in so many ways and so many levels. The Holy Spirit, the grace, the sacraments, the wisdom, the truth, the catechism, that feeds so many. And then our Lord, whose only passion, zeal for God's house, not the stone house that was destroyed by the Romans, but this very house, the waters that flowed into my heart, this temple of God. And yet over time, I can turn it into a marketplace, a den of thieves, for so many competing values to outdo the voice of God in my heart. And our Lord comes to cast them out, to repurify that temple that I have allowed to become corrupted through sin. And what happens in confession? What is that church present in the confessional, that ongoing life-giving water that cleanses me again? Anyway, so much to think about, just an invitation to ponder this great mystery of the church that is so much more than just a bunch of buildings or a bunch of clerics in Rome, often corrupted. Like, that's got nothing to do with what our Lord is talking about with that capital word, capitalized word that we say, the church. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us and pray for the church.